The mare was mouthing like a carp.
Howell,
said Tom John desperately,
you're good with words.
The problem we've got here, said the dwarf, is that no is apparently not among the options when you're offered a crown. I think he could cope with maybe.
Tom John stood up and grabbed the crown. He held it above his head like a tambourine.
Listen to me, all of you, he said. I thank you for your offer. It is a great honour, but I can't accept it. I've worn more crowns than you can count, and the only kingdom I know how to rule has got curtains in front of it. I'm sorry.
Dead silence greeted this. They did not appear to have been the right words.
Another problem, said Howell conversationally, is that you don't actually have a choice. You are the king, you see. It's a job you're lined up for when you are born.
I'd be no good at it.
That doesn't matter. A king isn't something you're good at. It's something you are.
You can't leave me here. There's nothing but forests.
Tom John felt the suffocating cold sensation again and the slow buzzing in his ears. For a moment, he thought he saw, faint as a mist, a tall, sad man in front of him, stretching out a hand in supplication.
I'm sorry, he whispered. I really am.
Through the fading shape, he saw the witches watching him intently. Beside him, Howell said,
The only chance you'd have is if there was another heir. But you don't remember any brothers and sisters, do you?
I don't remember anyone. Howell, I...
There was another ferocious argument among the witches, and then McGrath was striding across the hall, moving like a tidal wave, moving like a rush of blood to the head, shaking off Granny Weatherwax's restraining hand, bearing down on the throne like a piston, and dragging the fool behind her.
I say, hello-y. I say, excuse me, can anyone hear us?
The castle up above was full of hubbub and general rejoicing, and there was no one to hear the polite and frantic voices that echoed among the dungeon passages, getting politer and more frantic with each passing hour.
I say, excuse me. Billum's got this terrible thing about rats, if you don't mind. Cooey!
Let the camera of the mind's eye pan slowly back along the dim, ancient corridors, taking in the dripping fungi, the rusting chains, the damp, the shadows.
Can't anyone hear us? Look, this is really too much. There's been some laughable mistake. Look, the wig's come right off.
Let the plaintive echoes dwindle among the cobwebbed corners, the rodent-hunted tunnels, until there are no more than a reedy whisper on the cusp of hearing.
I say, excuse me! Help!
Someone is bound to come down here again one of these days. Sometime afterwards, McGrath asked Howell if he believed in long engagements. The dwarf paused in the task of loading up the lattie. At least, of supervising the loading. Actual physical assistance was a little difficult because he had, the day before, slipped on something and broken his leg.
About a week maximum, he said at last. With matinees, of course.
A month went past. The early, damp earth odours of autumn drifted over the velvety dark moors, where the watery starlight was echoed by one spark of fire. The standing stone was back in its normal place, but still poised to run if any auditors came into view. The witches sat in careful silence. This was not going to rate among the 100 most exciting coven meetings of all time. If Mussorgsky had seen them, the night on the Bear Mountain would have been over by tea-time. Then Granny Weatherwax said,
It was a good banquet, I thought.
I was nearly sick,
said Nanny Og proudly.